What podcast do you like listening to?
So I like listening to, I would say my favorite podcast is 99% Invisible, because I am a design nerd and I really like learning about all this random shit that they cover. And also, they're based in Oakland, so every few episodes, like, you get some interesting facts about the Bay Area, and that's where I'm in right now.
You mentioned one other one. I know you mentioned another
one. Oh, yeah. Other things that I listen to. Yeah, let me repeat that. Other podcasts that I listen to. Oh, my God. I'm so sorry.
You don't need to be so... This is a podcast. I'm not going to edit any of this, so if you fuck up,
oh, my
just
God.
Keep going.
You're not editing any of this? Just, like, clip it
out. Absolutely not.
Oh, my God. No. You're lying to me. You're putting pressure on me. I hate you. Now you've ruined this whole take. I'm going to delete this whole take if you threaten me again.
If you threaten me? You've been in the Bay Area too long.
Yeah, I'm not used to driving in cars. I have to defend myself every time I get to MacArthur.
Hello, humans, and welcome to Audio Face, an irreverent podcast about the music, news, and culture that mostly matters. There's a lot of Kanye news this week, and Sean really, really did not want to talk about it on Audio Face. It's a lot, honestly. It's emotionally exhausting dealing with Kanye West, but nevertheless, there was a lot of news that happened this week that was just way too much to pass up. And I think this is a good time to check in with the fact that Kanye West is such an artist that people really liked and appreciated and recognized and considered to be one of their favorites, one of the greatest for a long time, and how his latest sort of antics have really caused a lot of people to have a lot of questions surrounding mental health, surrounding celebrity status, surrounding politics and what we consider to be acceptable or not and how we define those terms. It's a really broad, interesting conversation. I'm really happy that I got to have it with Annie. So definitely, I hope you enjoy this extended conversation about Kanye, where we get to a lot of really big ideas about Kanye West and what he's going through. Go through a couple of the things that happened, at least to the point when we recorded. This was before Kanye went to Africa and went on that other long video rant. But nevertheless, hope you enjoyed this episode. Please subscribe if you aren't already. We love all of the people who subscribe to the podcast because it helps more people discover the podcast. And you're the real ones. You listen to all the episodes. We really appreciate it. And for that, here is another bonus with Annie talking about Kanye. And I am here with Annie, who is a college friend of mine, a fellow content creator, a Kanye, in my eyes, aficionado. She would not love me for me to say that, but I'm just going to do this for the purpose of the conversation. Thank you for joining me, Annie.
Thank you for having me. I'm not a Kanye aficionado. I'm just...
I called it.
Just a typical fan who knows a thing here or there, but, you know, at this point... I'm not a typical fan anymore. I don't even know if I'm a fan anymore. I don't know, man.
This is what we're going to unpack because we've covered Kanye a lot on Audio Face. Sean and I have, at least. And Sean is of the opinion that, and it's just an unmovable opinion, that Kanye is a professional buffoon. That's like just his words. He's like repeated that over and over again. I think he's very steadfast in that. But there's still a large number of people who... I guess are more attached to Kanye West, or I like have more of an investment in that, in him as an artist than Sean has or even I have. And one of the first people I thought of in going to that and like dissecting that and really helping me get a better understanding of that is Annie. So I really appreciate you being here.
I guess.
You're going to be fine. It'll be chill.
Thanks.
So. I guess we both wanted to start with how our relationships with Kanye are chronologically. Like, I guess where we jumped into his music and how we kind of built our knowledge or honestly, like, enjoyment of him from whatever extent. I'll let you go first.
Yeah, so, Daniel, since you and I are the same age, I would assume that our relationship with Kanye started off at middle school dances, grinding on to Stronger with other middle schoolers. But yeah, so
you're projecting a lot, but continue.
Yeah, so I guess, like, a lot of people started off with Kanye's first album when he was big in, like, the college year, like, the college age fans, but more so, like, we started off when we were in, like, the middle school era when he really picked up. So we grew up around that time and grew up with all of his other upcoming albums. I don't think I could say that I really, really hit it off with Kanye until My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, though. Granted, that was also right around when I was in high school and getting into more rap in general. But also, like, goddamn, like, who can deny that My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy is a masterpiece? I really do think so. So that album and Yeezus are my two favorite Kanye albums, and I know that a lot, the album is a lot of controversy, but I love Yeezus, and you know my bias, because I love industrial music, and I wish there was more industrial rap in this world, or we gotta make it ourselves.
Yes, I will say that Yeezus, I won't quite put it at my top, but it deserves a lot more love than it gets, in my opinion.
Yeah, or at least, like, influence. It should be influencing more people.
Recognition,
yes. But, like, no, I wanted it to start more things, and the only thing that I felt was in a similar vein was Vince Staples, and he was the only one that kind of, like, caught the wave of the Yeezus sound, and a little bit of Brockhampton, but they sort of, like, flow in and out of it. There's really no consistency.
Brockhampton's all over the place.
Yeah, right, so I was actually listening to all of Yeezus while I was taking the BART today, and Yeezus on BART is a mood. Like, hashtag Yeezus on BART. yeah, and then so going to college, going to UC Berkeley, I actually took a Kanye West class, which is a fun thing to say that you took at UC Berkeley. So
I don't know if you've had this, like, interaction, but I've told people that I've taken a Radiohead class at Berkeley, and you get one of two reactions to that, and it really tells you what kind of person you're dealing with. It's either someone who's really vibing with it, or someone who goes, eh, fucking liberals doing whatever the shit they want, crazy, like, loopy ass Berkeley. Like, it's either one of those two.
Well, I mean, the people that vibe with it, like, are Radiohead fans for you, and that's a specific community. But, like, when you say, like, oh, I took a Kanye class, like, kind of like everyone currently, like, well, at least, like, when I was taking that class, like, and that was, I took that
class. Let's talk pre-Trump.
Huh?
I'm saying, like, the idea that you took a class on a musician and you tell someone you did that at Berkeley, it gives off a very certain vibe outside of, like, certain circles, I would say.
Yeah, it definitely does give off a certain vibe. But to also give context to when I took that class, which was spring of 2015, so that was even before, like, The Life of Pablo dropped. And so that means that that was still when I thought Kanye was making good music. So if you didn't catch that, I don't like The Life of Pablo. And I have my opinions about all the things that he's been releasing currently.
I want to discuss that.
Yeah, for sure. But so that's where my expertise lies, quote unquote. I wouldn't say I'm a Kanye expert, but I'd say that I was a big fan. And I can publicly admit that I was a big fan up until a time recently. And yeah, that's just how I know about all this Kanye stuff and why I'm here.
I think that's a good, like, entry, like, way to talk about it as well. And, like, a good explanation of how you entered. I think, yeah, college dropout, hearing songs like, I'm trying to think. Slow Jams, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Slow Jams, All Falls Down. Like, that was I was very just kind of hearing these songs in the background. It wasn't until Late Registration, because that's the one that had Gold Digger on it, right?
Yeah, Gold Digger, right. That was another, like, banger for the kids.
Yeah. Yeah, God. I can't believe how they censored that song and then hearing the uncensored version for the first time, because, yeah, do remember that it was very much a middle school time when I heard this song. Less so in middle school dances, more just, like, blasting out of people's cars.
Right, and, yeah, like, it was a bumper. Corners. It had, like, good bass and all that, and you felt kind of cool when you were bumping it out of your Southern, like, California car.
Right, like, into the suburbs. The epitome of, right? It's the epitome of mid-2000s rap. That kind of like booming, kind of flashy sort of, at first it was taking people by storm, but it's almost kind of doing what trap is right now, where it's really converging under the mainstream and people are kind of not sure how to deal with it. Not making a direct comparison, but I think that it was really coming into the mainstream and songs like that were just showing off the best of like Kanye really chopping up a flow, Kanye like really producing this like sick beat that went well together and was poppy, but I mean had humor and style, and it was just showing like really some of the best of rap as an art form, and artists built upon that.
Yeah, in fact, like, if I think back to that time back when, like, T-Pain was big, back when, like, 50 Cent was big and all that, like, all the anthems that you heard from hip-hop were, like, about being in the club. And I think that Kanye did a good job about making songs, like, outside of that universe as well. And so that's why it was, like, fun to listen to that, because it wasn't just, like, another radio song about, like, getting down in the club.
In the club with the kids doing the dances.
Buy you a drink.
Oh God, triggered. So tell me more about the Kanye class that you took. What was like the material you went over? Like you've told me before, but I guess like tell the audience and refresh my memory.
So the best way that I can put it is it was like the art history of Kanye. So it was a class that covered both like his personal history and then followed that alongside his discography so that you could see like where he was at in his life while he was making certain things. So like for a hot minute, that class helped me understand like that whole Taylor Swift moment with Kanye West where, you know, he like took the mic from her and was like, Beyonce's video was the greatest of all time. And, you know, like seeing that, I guess whenever that happened in middle school or high school, I was like, oh, what an asshole. But then like taking that class and then like kind of learning that even though his comment was erratic, it kind of came from this place where like he wanted to like defend Black people in the music industry. Like it gave me a glimpse into what I once considered like the genius behind the madness. I don't know if that genius is left in there. So, I'm not trying to be like a Kanye apologist when I have like when I recite certain moments where I'm like, oh, like maybe he did have some reason to what he did, because I'm just not sure where any of his opinions come from anymore.
I think we will get into that later on, but like this is so good. This is a lot of conversation. I think you're making it very clear, and I think it should be very clear that you can. I think a lot of people live in the political world where like it's super hashtag cancel culture, where once someone does a bad thing, you have to denounce and reject any sort of association with them. When I think real human relationships are a lot more nuanced and that you can talk about how you liked someone for some reason, but then your opinion changed of them as you learn more about them or as time evolved. And those can create more interesting, more closer to life kind of conversations like this. So it's not to say that by any saying how much in any way she or in any way Kanye influenced that's not in any way to say we endorse his present actions and responses. It's kind of just unpacking all of that.
Yeah, actually, I wanted to mention, like, I have a personal philosophy, which I'm actually not so consistent on, but I at least adhere to thinking that you can separate the art from the artist. So like when Yandy drops, am I gonna listen to it? Yes, I'm gonna like take a listen to it and check it out. Am I also gonna be like aware that he's not like a figure that I want to endorse anymore? Of course, yeah. Like, so definitely I've been meditating on that subject though, like separating the art from the artist, because you know, even if you play music nowadays like on Spotify, like that money then goes to the artist or like their producers and stuff. And so in a way, like people could argue, like by me listening to him, I'm like contributing to his bullshit. So in this day and age, there's a lot more difficulty to separating the art from the artist. I don't think I'm at the point where I'm gonna like cleanse myself of all Kanye and like never listen to my favorite songs ever again. So it's tricky. It's really tricky.
Right. I see. This is so interesting because I really agree with what you're saying as someone who has taken it upon himself to listen to new music that comes out every week. I sometimes listen to music that are from people with very strange opinions that I don't love or sometimes I tackle or grapple with. And I have to, at some point, separate the art from the artist, but then there, to me, becomes a line. Like, eventually, there's at some point where it gives too much. And for Kanye, I think just, like, speaking out of turn and being erratic in public is not the kind of thing where you go, like Louis C.K., like, yo, I don't even want to watch a Netflix documentary of yours ever again because, like, you're way creepy, or like you're going to have to do a lot more repenting, or I'm going to see a lot more growth for something like for me to like actually want to endorse anything of yours again if I like was a Louis C.K. fan, for example. But I don't know. I guess there's just a lot of nuance to these things.
I have a question for you actually, because I was watching that Pete Davidson thing about like he got asked on SNL like what would it take for you to like, you know, forgive Kanye, and then he puts on the hat like make Kanye 2006 again. And it's right. It is an interesting like personal question, like what would it take for Kanye for me to return to how much I liked him back in high school, and can he do anything now? Okay, so like for a hot second, like after like, so he like said the whole like slavery was a choice thing, and he but then he, like, made some, like, sort of half-assed, like, apology over it. Like, he was more so, like, I'm sorry I hurt people than, like, I'm sorry that, like, I, you know, misconstrued these very dangerous facts. But then, like, I don't know. He made Ye, and it was all, like, soft and, like, in his feelings and all that. And for a second, I was, like, sympathetic. And then he goes back on SNL. And then he, like, meets Trump and gives him a hug, like... I don't know anymore. Like, I wanted to forgive him. I really did. And then he keeps, like, doing this shit. And I'm just so flustered.
So, I want to go through... I want to take a quick journey through all the things you just described before we get to the main question you're talking about, which is, ultimately, I have down in our notes, like, what's going on with our guy? Like, what is up here? And I think through going through some of the things that happened in a semi-chronological order... I will be able to explain, or at least give the context to my ultimate assumption of how I feel about this. Mm-hmm. But yeah, in the lead up to Ye coming out, oh God, I can't believe that happened. I can't believe that was just in May, or like, right? That was June. Mm-hmm. Anyways, in the lead up to that, he was kind of just being kind of erratic and public performance as usual. He went to TMZ and gave this very bizarre kind of blustering interview where he talked about, kind of paraphrasing, the idea that slavery, because black people were enslaved for 400 years, that almost relates to a mindset. Therefore, slavery is a choice that black people made upon themselves. Mm-hmm. I'm not really wording it that greatly. Kanye didn't word it much better.
True.
And it really just kind of sent everyone into a fit because Kanye was also seen with a Make America Great Again hat, custom made. It looks definitely way better styled than the trucker hats that Trump sells.
Looks better than anything he's ever designed for his fashion lines.
Yeah, but that's a purely metrosexual booming kind of comment. But I would like... immediately all the grifters on the right wing immediately took onto that. Candace Owens, Charlie Kirk were like, look who is embracing difference and thinking differently and getting off the Democratic plantation, which is amazing how
you can't see this, but I'm rolling my eyes language. Deep.
I think if it's possible to feel emotions during a podcast, which I'm pretty sure it is, you can feel the collective, like, why is this our reality in both of our eye roll. I'm gonna keep reading. Keep speaking. But it's been a long week. We're recording this on a Friday evening. So if Kanye decides to... I thank you for doing it. I love you too. So what I'm kind of trying to get at is the way that Kanye was promoting Ye, and that the way he was kind of making himself a controversial figure was being co-opted by the same types of people that we thought of Kanye as being against, first of all, which is confusing to say the least, but also annoying because many of Kanye's fans, you and I think that's no secret, are like politically sort of progressive. And remember, Kanye West's political speeches have been pretty, like, I guess in the common parlance, woke, but I'll never forget that moment in 2006 during the Hurricane Katrina relief when George W. Bush was saying that FEMA was doing a great job while ignoring major impacts that were the fact that the government wasn't doing a good job at rescuing people during Hurricane Katrina, and it was largely in poor neighborhoods of color. I wonder why that's repeating itself again.
I wonder too.
But yeah, I mean, I don't wonder, it's obvious, but during a live telecast where people were raising money for that, Kanye West was there to kind of like make a difference and bring awareness to it. And he says on live TV, George W. Bush doesn't care about black people.
Right.
And that was like,
fast forward to now, and like he says on live TV, like that Trump loves black people and is like doing his best for them and all that. But like, how? Like, what has Trump actually done for black people? I was actually trying to Google it, and it's just a bunch of statistics like that conservatives are cherry picking, like, oh, like the employment rate for black people has been rising under Trump. Like, that doesn't mean that it's his fault. Like, it could be rollover from Obama, it could be all these other things. There was that one quote that I read that was like, oh my god, like the median family income has rose over $1,000. Data wasn't split up by race, but one could assume that black people got some of that money as well. And I'm like, one could assume? Have you taken a history class?
If you've taken like an economics or a public policy class, you'd know that like wealth is not, or income is not, evenly distributed among race due to factors that are entirely outside of economics. I'm not saying it's just because all of the corporations have gotten together and decided to have a bias against black people. I'm just saying that like there are systemic societal issues that make it so people of different races don't always have the same opportunities. And these are things that are kind of ultimately obvious to a large number of people, especially the people living in those kinds of situations.
This is getting real political for an audio face podcast.
You're really right. But you're really right.
We might as well be NPR.
Yeah, I have this recurring joke with Sean that eventually we'll just be hosting the most wild, like, hard left Marxist podcast called the Syndicate 23 Political Report, where like every episode is just like, it's like a clinic in trying not to get canceled off of a major radio network.
Oh my god, seize the means of content production.
Like, literally, I would end up like that Turkish journalist that's just, or that Saudi Arabian journalist that's just murdered in Turkey, where they just have the audio and video footage of it, but they just don't know. Like, that's happening today.
Whoa.
It's like it would end up like
for
that.
For our opinions over Kanye? Bless up.
I don't know. You never know when he becomes president. That seemed like a power
2020.
Move.
Let's
so,
go.
Let's get back on the timeline. Sure. Ye gets released. It's kind of whatever. Your quick opinions on that album? You said it was kind of emotions.
Yeah, so I wasn't the biggest fan of that. In fact, if anything, within the whole like five album manic episode that he had, I would say I like Kid See Ghost the most. But my bias lies in that I really love Kid Cudi, and Kid See Ghost, I feel like had a lot of Kid Cudi's like spirit and like melody in it. And even like Kanye's bars in Kid See Ghost were good, but Ye was like, I thought it was like this like personal exploration, like, hey, like I realize I'm a bipolar man and I go up and down, but I have this family to take care of. I'm a family man and I'm a man under the pressures of fame, you know, and so I'm going to like take a quick moment to be soft and stuff. And I was like, oh, like, you know, he's seeking sympathy and he's explaining himself. Like, I'm not forgiving him for all his bullshit, but like he's trying to like open a window into like whatever mental health mind thing is going on. But now, like, now he claims
now
that he's been
he's
misdiagnosed.
Not bipolar.
Yeah. And like, but then that, what does he feel like now? Does he feel like all his actions are sane and that, like, he has a right to be doing what he's doing because he doesn't need his meds and stuff? Or, I don't know, like, I don't know what's more dangerous, like, realizing that you have something to fix or realizing that you have nothing to fix.
That's some deep shit right there. Like, that's some
cognitive psychology some major. Shit right there. Thanks, UC Berkeley.
Your total is. Stand clear of the closing opportunities, please. Anyways, yeah, you're really kind of, I agreed with a lot of what you said there. The one thing I really agreed with was Kidsy Ghost was definitely the better of
Thank
that.
You.
I love how you said five album manic episode.
Yeah, it was a lot. It was every Friday, dude. And I was like, this is kind of a lot.
We literally, Audioface, we literally couldn't review them all at once. We had to, like, bunch some of them at the end to just go, like, here are all of them that happened, and here they all are in context with Kanye
wrap all of it up, though, in, like, one sentence, which is, like, mostly pretty decent songs, but no bangers. And that's how I would wrap up all of those albums, even the Nas album. And it sucks because Nas is my favorite rapper, but then, you know, the 90s stopped happening.
Right. Uncle rappers are a thing.
Uncle rappers.
I think Cudi and, like, Ye paired each other back enough, because either one alone can be a little bit much, but on Kidsy Ghost, they're both kind of matched enough to where it was a good balance, in my opinion.
Yeah. So, like, I was hoping that, you know, like, I was hoping that Kidsy Ghost would be, a sign of a come-up for both Kanye and Cudi, because, like, I've been wanting Man on the Moon 3 for, like, ages and ages, but also I just want, like, the old Cudi back as well as the old Kanye back. So, like, I don't know, I had my hopes up with, like, even Yandy. I was like, when I saw, like, Yandy and its, like, resemblance to Yeezus, and I was like, oh my god, like, Yeezus too? Like, I'm so here for this. But then
did you actually expect it to come out that quickly, though?
I mean, no. Like, I didn't expect it to come out, but, like, when it came out, I had slightly expected it to maybe be alright. But then I, like, started thinking about, like, how quick he was making things and how he's just, like, trying to, like, put stuff out without any more, like, profound thought, like, unlike My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, which, like, there's like, a podcast, like, analyzing every single song on My Beautiful Twisted Fantasy. Oh, my God. Do you know what it's called?
I don't.
It's called Dissect.
I can check.
It's called Dissect.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yeah. They just finished up a season on Frank Ocean.
Yeah, so, like,
it's very good.
There's, like, a lot of thought in that, and I know that Kanye can do stuff like that. So, like, I'm not here for when he makes a whole album in a month. Like, I want some more, and I want to also, like, but, like, before putting thought in his music, I want him to put thought in his words so that when I listen to his music, I feel like, you know, I feel like I'm supporting a good person again.
But isn't there a lot of profundity in poop-de-scoop-de-poop-de-poop?
There is, though. That is the deepest song of our generation. That's like the that's like Imagine before our generation.
I mean, you look back at 2018, and I think that's the only song that's gonna be like the soundtrack of the year, in my opinion.
Yeah. That were just mumbles, just straight mumbles.
It's a version of Poopy Scoop that's mumbled. With Lil Pump in the big I Love It suit.
I know, yeah.
Big suit, more like lawsuit. Anyways, did you hear that song was, like, ripped?
It was ripped? From what?
Or there was another song. Basically, it's being sued for infringing on the notes of another song that came out in the 90s.
But, like, they're so simple. Like, come on. It's like, da 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 da.
Yeah.
Like, dude.
It is really simple, but that's a risky run.
Try winning that lawsuit against Kanye West.
You'll see. I mean, it's happened before.
Okay.
The Weeknd and Daft Punk are caught in a thing, and it might look kind of bad.
Oh, no. Yeah, not Daft Punk.
Womp womp. That's another characteristic thing of 2018. I'm going to look back and that moment when one of Trump's advisors was on CNN and talking about the child detention centers at the border. Mm-hmm. And when one of the people were on the panel was talking about a five-year-old being put into a cage, mm-hmm. he went womp womp.
Did he really?
Yes.
Man, I don't know why I'm still shocked. I should be numb, but damn, like...
I am so numb.
This is the like, leader of the free fucking world.
Hashtag no politics. I try. I really do.
You know,
but this is ridiculous.
When you said 2018, no one is safe, you were really right. No one is safe.
Seriously.
We're not safe. We could die by the end of this podcast.
We could die... in minutes. You'll have to find out by looking at the...
We'll definitely die by 2040. Podcast. Let's agree on that.
Yeah, let's absolutely agree on... Probably sooner at this rate.
I know.
Clean coal, everybody. So, SNL. We alluded to that a little bit, but mm-hmm. Kanye did a thing on SNL because I think Ariana Grande dipped out last minute. But... he performed on SNL, and then after the show was over, he gave a long, rambling speech about supporting Trump, saying that the 14th Amendment should be repealed. Conveniently, that's the slavery one, mm-hmm. or the abolishing slavery one. That went on to be kind of updated to say he meant something around criminal justice reform, because you could read the 14th Amendment, truly you could, by saying that it allows for slavery in certain conditions, namely in prisons, where you have people who work for $1 or $2 a day or sometimes for nothing, mm-hmm. and they don't get less prison sentences and they don't get the same services and benefits as you would as a normal employee. That's how California fights fires now. Mm-hmm. Welcome to late stage capitalism. And so that's the most liberal kind of opinion. And I mean,
nah, dude, I don't know what lobotomy Candace Owens gave to Kanye West, but those are some like... those are some not real facts right there. Like, Candace Owens is a big problem, too.
Candace Owens is a... I don't know if Kanye is just, like, looking after her for not-so-great reasons, or just thinks that it's a media machine or something new he can hype up for controversy. Like, I don't know what's going on. But Candace Owens has also proven himself, like, if Joe Rogan can outsmart you... then you're not one of the brightest minds on the right.
Yep. Yeah. Oh my god. Conservative people of color. That is a topic.
That is for another, literally another podcast.
Back to Kanye.
After that, which, thank god Michael Che wasn't the person who was in charge of responding to that. That would have been too scathing. But Pete Davidson opened up an SNL kind of rant on it by saying, literally addressing that, by saying, a lot of people were thinking that Michael Che should respond, but Kanye is both black and crazy, and I feel like we all know which side is talking right now.
Yeah. That was a great joke, actually.
Yeah, it was a pretty pointed line. So there's a cultural backlash to him. And then Thursday happened. Then Kanye and Trump met in the Oval Office, and Trump and Kanye gave a 10-minute rambling speech on many things, including the 000000 iPlane.
00000.
So we all know Kanye's iPhone password. iOS literally warns you when you choose a password that easy.
Yeah, didn't you tell me that, like, his phone should have, like, Face ID?
And his phone definitely has Face ID.
He didn't use his fingerprint. He didn't use his face. He literally typed 00000 in front of, like, a shit ton of journalists. Yeah, and the internet. I'm like, oh, it's 6 zeros?
It was live streamed on CNN, MSNBC, several outlets online. Yeah, I really don't love to congratulate Elon Musk on literally anything or give him any wins, but that whole simulation theory is really sounding good right now. but yeah, he showed him a plane that was really just a concept car or like a concept thing that was done by a design student somewhere. Mm-hmm. And he was like totally blindsided by the idea. He went on this rant about how the president needs to look fly in order for America to look fly. He went on this rant by saying, Hillary Clinton's I'm with her slogan didn't appeal to Kanye as a man, while Make America Great Again appealed to him more as a man. I'm not even the biggest Hillary Clinton fan, and that just kind of was kind of a moment.
Yeah. Where's the logic in that?
Let's get to the big question that we've kind of been trying to poke at this whole time. What is going on with him? Oh, God.
Let's just do pure speculation.
No. I mean, like, I'm not saying you have the definitive answer.
Do you expect himself to answer that?
In my opinion, he needs Jay-Z's therapist.
Yeah, no, real shit. That's true. Jay-Z is a good ass therapist. Have you read the
Jay-Z's therapist is putting in hours.
Have you read the New York Times interview of Jay-Z? Wait, I think you even showed me that. That was such a good album. Not album. Wow. The therapy sessions. It's not like the blueprint. It's like the therapy sessions.
Some would argue that the later periods of 444 combined with Beyonce's last two albums are kind of like an outer therapy session for the Carters.
Good for them. Hand that over to the Kardashian West.
First of all, you might get that industrial you're looking for, but it's not going to make a lot of sense, and it's going to have a lot of Travis Scott.
Sicko mode.
It's lit. Yeah.
Back to the...
I was just going to say, I think Sean can hear me, wants to slit my throat.
back to the money question. It's like, what's going on with a boy? I'm going to get all, moody and shit. And
please do.
I think that Kanye West, his existence and his artistic career is a very good metaphor for the blooming of America, and especially the mythology of America, right? The self-made man, started from the bottom and moving his way to the top, and also mega independent vibes and all that, this herald of just the independent man of glory. And but that was America, and that was what we celebrated, and now that is all decaying. Our entire culture that was built on those things are decaying because we thought about ourselves so much that we forgot to help our whole country in general, right? And it's just almost poetic that Kanye's decay is so parallel to this political and social decay of America. Granted, it's been happening. It's been there, but now it's very open, and now our president is, somebody like that. And that gives Kanye agency to feel like he can be somebody like that and be president. And, that's his whole presidential spiel is a man like Trump can be president, and he can be all outspoken and crazy and free thinking, quote unquote, then so can I, and free loving and all that stuff. We gotta love everybody and all that. He kind of sounds like the same people that are misguided by new age spirituality and are ignorant but go to Burning Man sort of stuff, where it's it's all about free love, man. We just gotta love one another and spread that around and everything will be cured. And but
people who are really into the horoscopes a little bit too much.
Hey, so am I. But at least I know how to identify slavery. So it's, I, out of those sort of forms of thinking comes a lot of danger, because then it creates all this cushiony ignorance and thinking that you can move through the world in this sort of rose-colored way and accept all the atrocities that are happening, because if we just all started loving each other a little more and not actually trying to fight for changes and make sure that people are treated well, then it can be problematic too. And that's kind of what Kanye is going through, is this very 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 this very very deep end of the spectrum, where instead of like thinking that like chaos will make the world better, like love and like cheeriness will make the world better, but like both sides will not make the world better at all, and he's just lost in that sunken place.
Right. I think you said something really interesting when you talked about how he saw Donald Trump as a model for what he could do. And I think this goes a little bit further back, because remember, there's a pre-Kardashian Kanye.
And I like that
we've
Kanye.
Always kind of
I missed
we've
Kanye.
Always a lot of people like that Kanye. A lot of people feel like around that time he peaked or sort of saw a decline, because, and this is partially I'm inserting my speculation, but this is what a lot of other people are saying too, that he saw the fame and kind of the phenomenon that Kardashians had built for himself and started chasing that almost more than he was chasing his music. And so it became more of a status symbol. What kind of shoes can I have? What kind of brand can I be? Before, what kind of musician can I be, was the previous drive he had. And so there's almost this, I was about to kind of use an outdated and in this context really bad term, but there's kind of this Kanye sees what he wants to model himself off of, and then he just kind of reacts and models that and for himself and does that.
Well, also, like, in slight defense of their relationship, Kanye has always been, like, a person who, you know, has valued family. Like, he values his mom so much, and then the loss of his mom tore him apart. So, like, the Kardashians being both, like, such a matriarchal family and also, like, a tight-knit family. I wouldn't say they're the model family at all, but, like, it's this, like, family system. And basically what Ye was touching upon was that, like, he had that fame and he realized that it wasn't fulfilling him, but, like, being a dad and, like, having a wife and, like, you know, raising a kid, that was, like, something more fulfilling to him. So, like, if he wants to get married...
Which was so articulately referenced on I Thought About Killing You.
Yeah. So, like, I don't mind the fact that, like, he married Kim Kardashian. If anything, like, those two sort of see the world in a very similar way, which is shallow and sort of obsessive about their image. But I don't think that even, like, the Kardashians brought him to the point where he is today. Like, of course, Kim, like, has tried, according to, you know, sources and all that, Kim has tried to make him, like, realize what he's doing with all the, like, Trump comments, but he's not even, like, listening to her as well. So, like, I'm not even going to put the blame on the Kardashians as much as I want to.
I'm not blaming it so much because, like, I'm saying that part of the Kardashian empire is kind of just being bombastic for, or like being flashy or insane for the views, for the clicks. And that's something that seems to be driving Kanye, that he wants to surprise and be provocative because that's what gets attention. And that's kind of what the entire brand is. It's attention. And then once you go for substance, which is what he used to deliver for, like, his music, I would say, then it, like, that starts to drop off. And then for there, it's kind of that kind of constant seeking for attention that gravitates him even further towards people like Trump.
I mean, is that just their brand, or is that just American fame in general? And they just happen to be these weird, like, ultimate idols of that poisonous philosophy. Yeah, I don't know, dude.
I mean, if so, then there'd be a bunch of other extremely egotistical celebrities who'd be lining up to Donald Trump, and really most of them aren't. But, I mean, this is not the biggest part of the thing. It's just, like, my speculation and both of our speculations. But I guess there's a lot of ways to think of this. There's the assumption that Kanye is just, he knows what he's doing, and this is all deliberate, and it's almost like an Alex Jones way of seeing it, that there's a brilliant mastermind who knows everything that's going on and is planning everything just perfectly so that us regular rubes don't have the real information. And so there's the idea that basically Kanye West right now is just high-stakes performance art, that he's doing these crazy things with complete and total self-awareness. And I kind of want to get your thoughts on that being a possibility, or how, or like what you would feel if that were to be the case, or accepting that to be the case.
No, sadly, this is not a performance art, and this is not like a marketing ploy. And I know how to identify that, that there are plenty of conservatives that just kind of like spew bullshit in order to like get views and all that, whether they be negative or not, and like get viral and all that. And honestly, I sort of suspect Candace Owens to be one of those people. But sadly, like, Kanye very much knows what he's doing, but he thinks that he's doing good. And that's the really scary thing, is that sadly this isn't all a ploy so that Yandy can be the next big album, you know? Like, we made a joke before, like, the new marketing campaign is getting pregnant in order to drop a good album. So That's what is so sad. And like, you know, as a fan, as someone that like, you know, we listen to his music and we think that we know him because like he puts his heart into his lyrics so much. And so we really wanted to root for this guy until he started like tumbling down this hole. Like, I don't even know where all of this is coming from at all and what he wants in the end. Like, he wants this whole like free love and free thought sort of journey, but like, is he gonna get that with like eye planes and like sneaker releases? No. And I hope he doesn't win the presidency, or I hope he doesn't even try, because
people will vote for him.
People might even vote for him for the lulz. Some people will vote for him because they actually might believe that he could, like, continue the legacy of Trump, but...
I mean, that's no, kind dude. Of why Trump was elected. Some people elected Trump because they actually believed him, and some people elected Trump because they didn't believe him, and they just were like, oh, fuck it. Like, let's see what happens. I don't care.
Yeah, and fuck them, honestly, because I know people like that. People are like, oh, like I don't like Hillary, so I'm just going to put my vote on Trump, but he's obviously not going to win, but, you know, just... Like, they literally trail off at that point. They're just like, I don't know.
Right, but like, that's a mindset that people have that, like, could apply to Kanye. I'm not saying, like, let's do 538, like, poll analysis on Kanye West and see, like, what his priors are and how he's doing in, like, California's 35th or something like that. But I'm saying the same kind of mindset that someone could have for, hey, would you vote for Kanye West? What is either... I actually agree with him, hell no, he's an idiot, or fuck it, why not, let's watch the world burn, are the same things that got us in the situation we're in right now. And I think that's a very important point you're mentioning, which is horrible.
Oh, man. Well, I mean, so I did mention this question, and you didn't answer it yet, which is, what will it take...
Typical journalist.
What will it take... What could Kanye do for you to forgive him at this point?
Well, I hate to not answer your question, but it goes greatly into the next thing I wanted to talk about, which was like, we took the assumption that he's high stakes performance art.
There you go again, avoiding the question.
But I'm going to address the question right now, because here it is right now.
Do you like beer?
I promise you. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Do you black out often?
Not that I remember. Jesuit school or something. Anyways, the more realistic approach I take to this is that Kanye is going through like a mental health episode. Of what kind? I'm not sure. I can barely diagnose what's going on with me. But this is erratic behavior that is not the characteristics of someone who is normal. And so, to answer your question, because I am self-aware and I know I was going to get to it, is that because I believe this to be kind of a mental health thing, if Kanye West were to show that he's taking actual steps toward addressing his mental health in the way that kind of Jay-Z did. I joked earlier, but the Jay-Z model I think is a really good model. Just going in and saying, hey, I fucked up. There are a lot of things that I need to address, and I can't do this alone, and thinking that I am the king of the world and I know everything my way is self-destructive, and it's not going to do anything well for me. So I'm going to take responsibility and get help and try to be better or maybe even shut the fuck up. But I don't even want Kanye to shut the fuck up necessarily. I just want him to honestly, from a person-to-person level, just get better.
Yeah.
Well, how would you answer that question? Like, how would, what would he need to do for your forgiveness? Or what state are you at? Does he need, do you, like, does Kanye need to apologize to Annie? Does Kanye need to get on the phone right now, hit you up on that hotline bling, and really, yeah, like, explain that for you?
Sure. Well, actually, I'm going to make a prediction first. Because Ooh. Usually in American Fame and a lot of meltdowns, like famous meltdowns, there's this big trend where, like, you know, people, like, ruin their images, their careers and all that, whether that be through just, like, reputation or, like, drugs and stuff. And oftentimes when they go to, like, the really extreme end of things, and then there's a point where they cool down and then they come back, the comeback point is often them getting really Christian, like really, really Christian. So, like, I wouldn't be surprised where, like, you know, Kanye, like, you know, keeps blowing and blowing up with all this political stuff, but then sort of, like, I don't know, maybe his, like, mental episode, like,
Has it come to Jesus moment?
Maybe his mental episode haywires him. He's, like, silent for, like, a few years, and then he comes back and he just makes, like, really Christian rap or something, and he just becomes this, like, weird evangelist. And that's just what I see in, like, American Fame in general. People just get hella Christian, and which is, like, not a bad thing.
What examples
just, like,
do you have? Because I can't think of any.
Tila Tequila.
Dude. Wait, what?
Yeah, so, all right, look it up if you want, or maybe not because it'll give her views, but Tila Tequila, if you remember, had, like, she was that, like, raunchy reality TV star that would go in, like, those, like, dating shows and all that, and just would be, like, a very raunchy person and built a reputation out of that. And then, you know, like, from what her career in middle school, like, in our middle school time, just sort of dissolved out. And then I, like, look her up one day just to see, like, what's up with her. And then she, right now, she's just, like, this hella right-wing person that, like, just blasts out, like, you know, all her thoughts and all that. And also very, very extremely Christian, like, totally slut shames, like, everybody that, like, you know, is not, like, with the Lord and stuff, and is totally, a few 180s away from where she was on, like, reality TV. So, but, like, that's like, a pattern.
Tila Tequila slut shaming? I mean, I'm not saying anything. I'm just saying.
No, dude. Yeah, it's real. So, but, like, that's kind of the craziness of fame. Like, it's not even about the Christian part. It's, like, fame takes you on these weird tumbles and then makes you tumble back in weird ways, too. So, like, sadly, like, yeah, he could do things to make me forgive him. Like, you know, just take care of himself better, and then also, like, educate himself more and just society in general. But I think just the way that I have always seen it turn out, he's just gonna come back, but in some, like, weird retribution that's just gonna be probably even weirder than what he's doing right now.
Or he could just do the who was the, god damn it, I forgot, Mel Gibson. He could go the Mel Gibson route, mm-hmm. and just, like, go off the grid for a little while and do a couple films here and there and go, hey, wasn't that the guy who said all the, yeah, well, just watch the art.
Yeah.
It could just be one of those situations.
I don't know anymore, but I guess that, like, I'm on the same side as, like, Pete Davidson, where, like, just make Kanye 2006 again. But the person who I'm on the side of the most and who has, like, just spoken what is necessary to Kanye for me is Van, that black guy at TMZ that, like, shouted back at Kanye. He said exactly what every Kanye fan like us wants to tell Kanye, which is, like, dude, we love you, we look up to you, but your voice is big and you need to be careful about it. And if this is you now, then we're not with it anymore. So Van is just, he already did what I would have liked to do to Kanye, which is, like, you know, tell him all of those things. And obviously he told Kanye those things and Kanye still hasn't changed. So I don't know if anybody can reach him at this point.
That's very, that's a mic drop kind of moment right there. I want to talk about two more things before we wrap up. One is just back to the music. Do you think that Kanye going to Africa and doing this whole, I'm going to rush and make this album in maybe a month, I'm not going to count on it, but do you think his music is going to improve? Do you think that his coming back to, like, literally coming back to Yeezus kind of idea is going to mark a improvement from Ye and the life of Pablo?
All right, like, even if his political and personal situation clean up, we can both agree that Kanye is an uncle rapper now, and he can continue his career, but, like, it's his time. And also, like, I've noticed, like, when rappers become dads, they just kind of, you know, diminish. And that's, like, that rap has a really, like, fast recycling rate, more so than any other music. Like, it has to stay, like, young and fresh and bumping and all that.
And more so than ever now.
Yeah, more so than ever now. And so I think that, like, Kanye's not going to ever top My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, and he can make more experimental stuff like Yeezus. It doesn't have to be in the industrial realm, but, like, he's never gonna make My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy again. And I think that's beautiful because of how, you know, transient it is. But I'm not gonna expect anything good. I want to expect something good from Kid Cudi, I'll tell you that, but yeah.
I think that Kanye as a producer still has a lot of potential and chops. Yeah. And I think that a lot of people have proven that you can be a producer long into, like, your later years, even if you've lost your vocal or, like, front person touch, and still have a very prolific career. I think Kanye has that talent. And I felt like at times it was coming out throughout that 5-week manic output, however you so brilliantly worded it earlier. But the second thing I wanted to get to... Oh, wait, no, sorry. I lied. There are three things I wanted to get there. But you said the life of Pablo was where the mistakes happened. And I think that's for a lot of people, the point where it's like, okay, there's a divergence here. Can you go into that just from your perspective?
Oh, my God. I think Sean actually covers it better for me, where it's like flop instead of T-lop. I don't know, like, I felt like he was trying to, like, produce some radio hits, like, he was trying to explore, like, a little bit of trappiness, and he was trying to, like, go back to, like, making anthems and stuff, but, like, it wasn't working for me. I can't really say anything profound about it. I just want to say, like, it wasn't working for me. In the same way where, like, I really do like certain Drake albums, but his most recent album I don't like at all because it's him trying to be, like, hard and make radio songs and but also, like, you know, like, clean up some beef and all that. Like, it's messy. And so is T-Lop. Like, it's messy, and it didn't have, like, the concise, like, story or mood that, you know, most of his other albums had. It was just, like, I don't know. I don't know what the intention behind that was at all. And then, like, you know, with the weird cover art and all that, I think it was, like, when he started thinking about his music less. And then it all kind of, like, started going more downwards from there. But as a producer, he still has, like, immense strength, and he could just keep producing and, like, keep, you know, like, taking people in under, like, good music and bringing up new names too. Like, I want to see him take some new people under his wing.
That's what I've said as well. I like when artists, MF Doom, who's very much become an uncle rapper, I can kind of barely stand anymore. And, like, I've always said, like, MF Doom, please stop making music. Just only produce and work with younger artists and help them up, but please get away from mics unless you're performing old songs and actually show up at your actual concerts. But other than that, I am very much the same way with Kanye as well. So now we get to the last question. This has been a fun experiment in, like, Andy and I's dynamics and how we communicate with each other, because it's all like, oh, no, this is one thing. No, this is other thing. Actually, I didn't tell you about this. Oh, well, whatever. Just roll with it. It's fun. I wanted to get, as I get with most people who show up on the podcast, but what are your just overall music recommendations? What are you liking right now? What do you want other people to hear? Floor is yours.
Yeah. All right. So I always want to encourage more people to get into industrial music. Like, in general, Americans aren't into good techno. And Americans aren't also into, like, kind of, like, the gritty, like, techno sound in general. So, like, actually related to Kanye, though, the producers on Kanye's tracks, especially the main producers, are actually some very good industrial artists. So Gustafelstein, Arca, Brodinski, and Hudson Mohawk, like, they are some very good artists on their own. And so just looking at that track record of who helped produce Kanye's Yeezus album into industrial, if you like the Yeezus sound in general. Outside of industrial, I highly recommend to everybody Tierra Whack. Like, she's insanely good and amazing. Also, like, I'm trying to support, like, female rappers. Tierra Whack is, like, all around just, like, a visionary as to her music right now.
I did this thing on Instagram that I think I want to make into an episode where I listen to a lot of people's just music recommendations that they sent out of the blue. And Tierra Whack was one that was sent to me a lot. And I did another one where you also mentioned her as well. And she did this really interesting project where she made a 15-minute album where each song is about a minute long. And it goes into its, like, moves and kind of starts up. And then usually each song abruptly stops. And then the visual accompaniment is kind of just this augmenting strain. I cannot do it justice by describing it. I do recommend people check it out. Whether or not you like it musically, it's just like...
Are you talking about the music video film that she made?
Yeah, for Whack World.
Yeah,
it's just one of... You should consume it as a music connoisseur in 2018, absolutely.
Yeah.
What was I gonna say? Oh yeah, for Gustafelstein, you've listened.
Oh, look at you flexing your German Gustafelstein.
Gustafelstein. Okay, like you don't flex, your French whenever you get the chance. Yeah. You're good little colonizee, aren't you?
Fuck you.
Hey, French did a number on Madagascar too. I cannot say anything else.
Continue.
But we've talked about Sophie before. Did you get to hear her new album?
I have not yet. And I have not dived too much into Sophie in general. I have this thing about, like, vocals, where if I don't like the vocals in a song, like, I can't really listen to that song. Even if, like, the rest of the song is, like, incredible, the vocals are very important to me. And, like, Sophie is this very, like, maximist personality, like, almost, like, operatic in a sense, but, like, combined with, like, very, like, chaotic melodies sometimes, or, like, sounds and productions in general. So I'm still trying to get into Sophie's music, but as for just, like, who they are as, like, the sort of postmodern pop star, I'm really into that, and I have a lot of friends that like Sophie too, but no, yeah, I haven't heard the new album.
Yeah, I think that it's a lot to get into Sophie's, like, the way the vocals work in the album, but if you do get into it, or if you are able to get into it, it's some pretty decent industrial. And he's the one, or they're the one who did Vince Staples,
yes.
Yeah Right?
Yes.
And that goes really hard. And it has that perfect blend of, like, industrial rap and, or yeah, industrial and rap that really Annie and I are really fiending for.
Yeah.
Continue.
You heard it now. We're gonna make an industrial rap album once I learn how to produce. Stay tuned, Audio Face.
Dun dun dun.
Anyways,
you had more. You had Arca down here.
Yeah, I mentioned Arca. What was Arca on? Which songs did Arca make? Arca was one of the producers for Hold My Liquor, and he's on another song as well. But, like, he does just a really good job. Like, I love Hold My Liquor, holy shit. And then if you want, just like, if you want to get an understanding of what Gustafelstein sounds like, I feel like Send It Up is a very, like, Gustafelstein sound. I feel like he was probably the main producer on that one. And I really wonder who is like the ideator for the main tune of Black Skinhead, because like you and I, like, we love that song, but like that, like, roomy, like, just melody, like, I wonder if that was Daft Punk or Gustav Holstein's doing, because it's just so good.
From what I remember of Daft Punk describing what it was like with Kanye producing the song, Daft Punk had a lot to do with the percussion-y parts of it.
Oh.
And they just said that Kanye just started doing this primal yelling thing during that song and said that they should keep it exactly that way and keep it raw and just not change it too much from there. And it's possible that maybe that's the song that unleashed Kanye's dragon energy, and that's the way is the way he is now.
Yeah.
That's my theory, and I'm sticking to it. You have a couple more here, Brodinski and Hudson Mohawk.
I just mentioned all of those, Daniel.
I did not. Maybe you're speaking too fast, but I didn't catch those. Or you didn't mention like songs from them, or what about them?
Honestly, if you go in and check out all those producers that I've mentioned that had worked on Yeezus, like, even though, yes, like, they're in this industrial category, actually, there's still, like, a lot of variety within that genre as well. So, like, Brodinski, like, I think appeals a lot more to, how do I say, like, frat boy EDM. Like, he kind of has a little bit of that sound, that EDM vibe, versus, like, Hudson Mohawk has a bit more of, like, the kind of, like, those techno artists that make, like, video game sort of sounds in their music.
Right.
Like, his music sounds very video gamey.
Robot video game beats.
Arca is, like, if you took, like, Catholic opera and made it as gay as possible. I love Arca. So within the industrial category, like, there's this spectrum, and, like, one end of the spectrum leans towards, like, a softer, like, dark techno feel, where it's, like lo-fi, like ambient, but like moody. And then the other end of the spectrum kind of hits like it's kind of synth wavy a bit, and it like kind of has like this, like, you know, this good beat and this like sharp energetic feel and all that. So industrial in itself, even though it's a very like dark and gritty album, like, it still has a lot of variety within it as well. And I was just so surprised to see all those names when I was looking up Yeezus, that like, wow, like, Kanye put all these people together. Like, no wonder this is a fucking excellent album, minus Blood on the Leaves.
He has such a good, like, ideas for production, but the execution, and especially lately, is just, it's frustrating. And I imagine if I were even more invested into Kanye, kind of as, like, you were to a point, then it's even more frustrating.
Past
tense. Exactly. And then if I have people who are still, like, not still, but, like, they're big Kanye stans, it's like, I don't know what they're going through. It's kind of funny, but I don't know. Reject false icons.
Reject false icons.
Thank you so much, Annie, for joining me. Oh wait, we forgot to talk about TRRAC. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding with you. Thank you for joining with me on my especially super brain dead.
Thanks for having
moment.
Me.
This was a great kind of look into a really good conversation about all the facets of Kanye West. This is a very fascinating thing that's happening. I'm glad that you are able to discuss this with me, and that we're able to talk. You should call home more.
I think that, like, we can only parallel our confusion with any other, like, liberal Kanye fan. I don't think we answered any questions at all, but I hope I gave some solace out there to somebody that's also like, how the fuck do I feel about Kanye? And the answer is, no one fucking knows. Unless you're a Trump supporter, then you're having a good time right now.
If your main goal is owning the libs, then you're enjoying your life right now. But there's a joke in media that if you ever see a headline with a question mark in it, the answer is no. And I feel like I should just title this, podcast something like, do we have the answers for Kanye West?
Will Kanye return from the sunken place?
Yeah.
Find out on Yandy.
Find out only by listening to all 1 hour and like 8 minutes of this podcast. It's the only way you can do this. The only way. The secret's at the very end. No, it's not. Thank you again, Annie. You should do this again sometime.
Of course, I'd love to. Thank you, Daniel. Thank you, Audioface.